This is Liz.
And this is Sharon.
And you're listening to Unrefined She,
the well-being podcast for women like you who want to explore your health, claim your space, question norms, and live your best lives. Hosted weekly by entrepreneurs and women's health experts, Liz Winters and Sharon Bailey.
As always, please keep in mind that the information shared on this podcast is for general purposes only and should not be considered medical advice. And now, let's dive in.
Hey, she's, I think we can all agree there's nothing else that can quickly send your day sideways than a visit from the hangry monster. I learned pretty quickly during pregnancy and now as a parent to tiny, hungry, hungry humans that having snacks on hand is key to everyone's sanity and survival. And while my snack of choice is typically fresh food, it's not easy or convenient when I'm on the go. And okay, to be honest, I've found one too many squished bananas or hard-boiled eggs at the bottom of my purse than I care to admit. Which is why I love the grass-fed beef sticks from Paleo Valley. I stash these protein-rich snacks in my purse and the diaper bag, so I'm always prepared. Unlike other meat sticks, Paleo Valley beef sticks contain 100% grass-fed and finished beef from American farmers who practice rotational grazing, which is better for you and better for the planet. 100% grass-fed beef contains more B vitamins, calcium, magnesium, potassium, zinc, phosphorus, beta-carotene, and iron than grain-fed beef. And it has important fat-soluble vitamins that can protect against cardiovascular disease. It's a snack I feel good about eating and sharing with my kiddos. So if you're looking to level up your snack game, head over to paleovalley.com and enter the code UNREFINED15 at checkout to save 15% on your next order. That's paleovalley.com with code UNREFINED15.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Sharon.
How are you, my dear friend?
I am, honestly, I'm tired today. I'm tired. I text you this morning. You know this, the listeners don't. They probably don't care, but I was like, oh my God, I got to record the podcast because this is not our usual recording morning. And so my brain wasn't in that space and my body was like, just sleep. It's fine. Mm-hmm. And so I did the trick where you start the pot of coffee, but then you pull the very first like bit that comes out.
Ooh, yeah.
Boss yeah, move. It's like real chewy. Like it's some, I feel one with the coffee beans this morning.
It's so, like camp coffee where you're
just
like.
Yeah, it's totally like percolator. Like I took a sip before we got on. I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Really feeling that. I am drinking cold brew without ice cubes because I wanted a hot cup of coffee, but I didn't want to do the bear hug, grind the coffee in the laundry room over the pile of dirty laundry. I was like, nope, not today.
Mm-mm. Not today. Not yes, today. I feel you on that. What yesterday was it? We were out of ground coffee and I didn't like the same thing. I didn't grind coffee the night before. We had like 3 scoops left, which will make like half a pot of coffee. I made the half pot of coffee for the house and I also drank like the cold leftover cold brew from the fridge and heated it up in my frother. If anybody thinks that we've got it all figured out, clearly we do. So yeah. There you go.
Obs. Totally. Obs.
Yeah. God help us all.
Life hacks with coffee.
Life hacks. That's Liz the new Sharon. Thing we're going to do. On the podcast. It's just all life hacks.
It's all life hacks.
What other life hacks do you have for our listeners this morning? I feel like we've got to have something else other than how to brew coffee or drink coffee.
All my mind went to was yesterday I drove back from my in-laws across the great state of Colorado over the big mountain pass. And we have this new, well, it's not a new bike. It's an old bike, but it's new to us, a new Extra Cycle, which is really awesome. Have you ever seen an Extra Cycle
before?
No, what's
that?
Oh, they're so badass. So it's like a bike, but on the back, it has kind of this extended, platform. My brain is still waking up, but like extended seat. It can be like a seat and then it has bags that hangs down.
Yeah. I've seen those. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's super cool. And so Ryan put handlebars on it. So Fox sits on the back and then I can carry all my stuff. And so I took the bike over to my in-laws because they have great bike paths everywhere. Mm-hmm. So we just rode the bike around the whole time and like,
amazing,
you know, whatever, went to the pool or whatever. But, on the way back, there was crazy winds, and it has those bags on the whole backside, and it just like, I felt like I had a bike kite on the back of my car.
Oh my God.
And I was like finding every single thing I could find in my car to just like even more batten down the hatches, you know?
Totally.
I was like, how many bungee cords can I use on one bike? A lot.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. A lot. I mean, I just, it's like that new resistance training. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm doing this for my workout. It's cool.
Totally.
How long is that drive? How long is that drive for you?
It's like 5 hours.
5 hours. Mm-hmm. How does Fox do in the car?
Oh, he's fine. Books. Like books. That's our, yeah.
Yeah,
he's
got to
have books. Uh-huh.
So many books.
So cool. Many books. Yeah. And when we were visiting family in Houston, there was a mom who has three kids, and we ended up taking her car, and she just has this giant basket of books in the middle seat, like of all the seats, you know?
Yeah.
And Fox was like, what? Books? You know, he just went through all of them, and I was like, okay, that's our new jam.
Cool.
Basket of books.
So nice. Mm-hmm. We drove to my parents' for the 4th of July, and it's the first time we really did this with the kids. Because we hadn't really been up there since we moved, and we didn't realize how long. And when we went last time, like the world was shut down, there's no traffic, and now everybody's like, yeah, COVID's over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so it was supposed to be like a 3.5 hour drive, and it turned into a 4.5 hour drive because of the long weekend. And we also had like the basket in the middle of the seat, and we had like Arlo toys and Edie toys and like just anything. And it was so nice because they could just like reach their little hands in and chuck shit at each other and like are totally content. It's just, and
yeah.
Books.
Books and stuff.
Books. We listen to podcasts. We're big. Edie's really, really into podcasts.
Mm. Like which one?
So she loves Wow in the World. It's a Guy Raz podcast.
Oh yeah. Ooh,
so that one's really, really fun. I won't listen to anything that I also don't want to listen to.
Yeah.
Cause we're going to find something we can listen to together. And so we love that one. And then the newest one we found is Imagined Life Family. So Imagined Life has like an adult podcast, and we were listening to that one too, and that's fine. But then like the family one is a little like, the episodes are a little shorter. The subject matter isn't quite as intense, but basically they give like you behind the scenes of like a famous person before they were famous, and they don't tell you who it is. And so you have to kind of figure it out along the way. They'll give you clues. And so it's been really, really interesting to be like, who do you think this is? And like Edie doesn't know who any of them are because like pop culture.
Yeah.
But it's been really fun to like learn things about like people that you never would have even, like things that you just never would have known about, like Michael J. Fox or, oh my gosh. Wow. My brain just stopped. Julia Child. There we go.
Nice.
So yeah, it was just really cool. I was like, oh, I didn't know you did this. This is amazing. So I like those where we get to learn something and it's like entertaining for both people or for all people in the car.
Totally.
So
yeah, we haven't found, I'll check out Wow in the World for sure because he loves the stories, Little Stories for Tiny People. Have you heard?
Oh, I haven't heard that.
Oh, they're so sweet. And he listens to them during his rest time and in the bathtub and whatever. Especially the stories about Little Hedgehog. Very cute. The lady Rhea, I forgot her last name, who does them. She's just so clever in the storytelling. Mm-hmm. And they all have like such great, like, you know, deeper meanings. And the characters are so cute. And she has people, listeners call in and like make sound effects. So it's like little kids making some of the sound effects for the like,
that's awesome.
The characters. Yeah, it's really sweet. But I just don't want to listen to Little Hedgehog Goes on a Field Trip 5 times on a
no, absolutely not.
While driving in traffic on I-70, I'm okay. So
you don't, that's not your idea of a good time?
Not today.
Not today. Anytime somebody says that, I'm like, not today, Satan.
Not today. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
my gosh.
Man.
So speaking of our kids, this kind of like helps lead into this topic. I was watching my sweet baby girl play this weekend, and she just was like in her element and was so free, unencumbered. Like we were at the water. So she's just in the water the whole time. And I think one of the things I envy most about, or I guess I'm in awe of, envy isn't the right word, but I'm just like, this is a skill that we unlearn and I would like to relearn it. Teach me. Is her ability to just be in the moment. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. she is just like reacting to things as they are happening. And yes, like past emotions will influence it. Like right now we're real tired because we're at summer camp and swim lessons. So everything is big feelings. But I mean, she's just like there. She's not thinking about what's happening at 5 o'clock tomorrow or, you know, putting her laundry away. She's just in that moment. Mm-hmm. And something that I have noticed as an adult, and especially since becoming a parent, that, you know, we've been talking a lot about like the mental load and like mm-hmm. the constant running to-do list. And like in the background, it's like, I can hear my computer fan going right now. Like my computer is obviously running a lot of things in the background. Not that I can see, but it's impacting how the computer is running through the rest of the day. And that's like how I feel as an adult. Like I have so many things running in the background. It's impacting my ability to show up and be present in the moment, because even as we're recording, I'm like, okay, so we're going to record later. And then I've got that meeting at 10. And then, oh my God, did we pick up stuff for lunch today? What are we going to do with the kids today? Like, it's just constant. Mm-hmm. And so the struggle is like, how do we come back to the present moment? Because I don't want to miss anything. I feel like when I'm constantly running things, I'm missing out on the cool shit.
Totally. Yeah. And it also takes away from, like, I was thinking about this the other day because I was like, I was just thinking, processing something, and I felt like I couldn't quite even bring it into focus. And I really felt like, why is that? You know, am I going crazy? No. Okay. Did I get enough sleep? Probably not. you know, and I started standard. Kind of, yeah, going through all the things, and then I'm like, oh, it's because I'm just constantly processing and I haven't really been able to turn my brain off. I mean, lately, you know, it's kind of why I'm in this space of took another job just so I could put my business down and like take a break. And I feel like my brain has been a little more able to roam, which it hasn't in a long time. And that roaming really makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
To be able to like, you know, process stuff, but it's still like having those, you know, having that continuous like thought process going of checklists of, you know, everything's taken care of. Oh shit. What's the bank account looking like? Like how are our bills? Like, you know, all of those little stressors like really, add up and make it to where then when you're trying to, like, I know when I'm trying to like focus on something big, that's important to me, it makes it so much harder to just really be in that thought process. And it's like, then it affects my ability to like, you know, achieve,
yeah.
to like, to finish, to complete, to feel really solid about it. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I feel like that's like every week, but definitely this week I was observing that within my own thought capacity.
It's like we need to build in time for white space.
Totally.
Just like, and that this is something I've been reframing with some of my clients lately. It's like this, we're told that in order to be successful, we have to be busy. Like we should be constantly working. That's like why the 9 to 5 is framed the way it is. But I don't know about you. I don't know anybody who actually like works solidly the entire 9 to 5. When I was sitting at a desk, like I didn't do shit. Because yeah. I could finish my job in like 15 hours a week.
Right.
I mean, it's yeah. just like, and then it was just, I had to be a body and a desk, which is why I left because I was so frustrated by that concept. Mm-hmm. But having white space where you're just like dicking around or, you know, doing yoga or just like not doing anything mm-hmm. is so valuable to the creative process. Like that is a to-do, like something you can put on your to-do list.
Totally. You know where I found all my white space right now was my scrolling time.
Oh yeah.
It was all the time I just would spend scrolling. That is not a place of rest.
No.
You know?
It's just consumption.
It's just consumption. And I think a lot of us tell ourselves we don't have time to rest. We don't have time mm-hmm. to give ourselves space to do such things. And I mean, I would encourage everybody to do a time audit. Like, yeah. you know, I did like a 2-week time audit, and the amount of time I was scrolling and not like, and lying to myself about it mm-hmm. was appalling.
Yeah. And it's hard because it's an escape, right? It's an escape mm-hmm. from reality. And sometimes we need that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, I think your pesky iPhone, if you have an iPhone, will tell you exactly how much time you're spending on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, et cetera, which is just like, give yourself grace when you look at those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, how can we find other ways? Because we all need an escape. We need a place to just like put our cares down. So how can we find that without going down the rabbit hole? Because I think I don't know that there are studies. I was going to be like, there are studies. No, there, I don't know. There probably are. That like social media adds to our stress level. Like I think on a deeper level, like a subconscious level.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't necessarily like look at that and go, oh my God, I'm so stressed. Sometimes for sure. But it's like the comparisonitis that comes in. It's like, oh wow. Like their version of motherhood, like she's got her shit figured out. Look at that. Like, even though we can tell ourselves this is the highlight reel, I think we're internalizing this as like, this is reality, when we can't see like the rest of the 99% that's going on in that life. Or we start comparing our bodies to other people's, or the way our kids are acting or showing up. You know, all of these things that we can't possibly from a scroll through the feed see like what their privilege and access and support systems look like.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, so I've been social media free for like, I don't know, I think six or seven weeks now.
Amazing.
Yeah. And it's like, I actually popped on for a second yesterday, and the first thing that I saw was like this hate message that I hadn't read from like the weeks ago when I decided to take a break. And I was like
to you?
Yeah. Yeah. Because part of why I just kind of broke down was like, I made a post about the Texas abortion ban, and I just got tons of trolls who were like all up in my biz. And so, and it was like, okay, bye.
Bye.
But what I have noticed is the like 15 seconds or less of just like taking in imagery. It's like every 15 seconds or less, you're taking in a new thought, a new problem, a new, suggestion for your life. And it's just like one after another, after another, after another. And it can go for hours, right? Like how many people have like started scrolling? And this is not about like Instagram or like, you know, get off your social media or whatever this, but it's like, I think it plays into it, because how many people have started scrolling and then an hour later, you know, it's like at night after the kids have gone to bed or whatever. And it's like an hour later and it's like, okay, I'm worn out now.
Right.
And yet your brain is still just ticking away and trying to process all that shit you just took in. And it's like, how much of that is really benefiting anybody? It's the same with like watching TV or the news or whatever, you know, it's like we're inundated with so much information, and then we have our own life stuff, you know, we have our like our life to do's, our life checklist, our business checklist. It just, it's so overwhelming. It's so like heavy. And yet, so when you try to start stepping away from this, or what I've noticed is like in the first few weeks of being off social and trying to step away from it, it forced me to look at some things that I was numbing. And I had to look at those things before I could start creating the empty space that now I have created. And now I feel like I'm having this like burgeoning of creativity that's starting to like come up. And it's really, it's like palpable.
Yeah, it's like giving yourself that space
mm-hmm.
instead of like, we constantly feel like we need to fill it with things. And even if we don't have something to do, we're filling it with social media or, you know, whatever that might look like. It's so interesting you talk about sleep. It's like one of the number one things I tell people first is like, you want to improve your sleep, take your phone out of your room. And that's really hard. And like, I understand that. And so it's just like, here's some other shifts you can make if you like need your phone or you just want your phone. Like, I get it. Fine. Like, we don't have to go cold turkey. Like, it's not necessarily sustainable for everybody. But that blue light can have a really big impact on your body. It like tricks your hormones. Right. It's like sending your body to make more, sending the signal to make more cortisol. It's telling your body like, hey, we're awake. Because blue light is like sunlight. It's like, cool, let's party, let's do this. When in reality, like, you want to calm down. And plus all that rapid eye movement from scrolling, your body is just wired. Even though, like, I'm sure people have heard this expression, like, wired and tired. It's like you are physically exhausted, but your brain is awake.
Yeah.
And so, like, what do you do at night to kind of, like, wind down and slow down? Obviously, like, you've taken social media out of the mix, which has probably reduced your blue light and phone consumption a lot.
Massive. It has. I was just thinking, it's like brain junk food.
Totally.
Like, you know, it's like just shoving, like, I don't know, M&Ms into your brain.
I was like, go with Doritos.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever your like food crack is. Right. Mine is actually Reese's peanut butter cups. But anyway, it's like shoving a bag of Reese's peanut butter cups up into my brain and then be like, OK, I'm going to go to sleep now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I like to read at night, like sit down. So I've started wearing, like a number of months ago, the like blue light blocking glasses, like full on, you know, Swanwick's is what I wear, at night. And that has been helpful. I mean, it's not like I don't sit down and like watch a show or something, you know, or like watch a movie or documentary. To me, it has a different impact as long I always make sure it's not something like too intense because that will carry over into my dream space. And it's like,
yeah, totally,
you know, and it's like I really prioritize sleep. Like sleep is vitally important. Like quality sleep is vitally important. I know. And because I can now because my kid is old enough. But you know, after being, because being a doula and, you know, having a kid that just would not sleep for the first 14 months, like I just value sleep so much. And I have a job that starts at 4 a.m., you know? Yeah. So like, it's, I get not being able to like, just get a really cozy full night's rest, but I've really prioritized sleep. So sometimes I watch shows or some like watch a masterclass. I really want to start painting before bed. Like that's the thing that's coming up is like, I want to start doing like art before bed. Cause that's what I used to do before I had an iPhone.
Yeah. The days before.
The days before I would just like sit and make art at night and whatever. I have started doing hypnosis at night too, like hypnosis tracks, which has been really lovely. Or reading and, I mean, just like winding down, you know, like intentional winding down, because even if you can't turn it off during the day, like even if you have 1,000 things that you are literally responsible for and you have to do them all at night, if you give yourself the brain space, you know, whether it's like brain dump everything out, right? And then like do your process, like give yourself an hour every night or whatever it is to just like really prioritize winding down and getting restful sleep. That restful sleep can do so much for your brain space.
Yeah.
I mean, so much.
And I think it's like so hard to imagine and like wrap our brains around that as like busy entrepreneurial moms, right? Like it's just one of those, you're like, if I stop working, nothing will get done.
Right.
And it's like, so that task that should have taken 5 minutes ends up taking 50 because you're exhausted or distracted or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the, one of the foundations of Four Rhythms is like, when you rest, like if you cannot do it when you're forcing it, if you can just wait.
Right.
You know, and give your body what it's asking for and not push through, like, you know, evaluate whether or not like, is this me telling myself I have to do this or do I actually have to do it?
Right.
You know, is it that going back to what you're saying about the busy being like a badge of honor or, you know, like, do I actually need to do this? And it's like, right. if you can really just put it down, even for a day, you know, even for a few minutes, but even for a day, and like come, hit it back tomorrow, you know, it's like, okay, there's always tomorrow, you know, like if I don't get this thing done today, is it that big of a deal?
Right.
Like how much, what's the trade-off, right? Like, is it going to impact my well-being, how I can show up as a parent, how I can show up as a partner, how I can show up as a boss, how I can show up as whatever, you know, or is it like, it's actually a deadline. I absolutely have to get this done. If I don't, it will impact these things. You know, it's like really weighing it out, like taking a step back and looking at the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people will see that, like, there's so many decisions we tell ourselves we have to make that we don't actually have to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just we've been socialized to think that way.
Do you have an example?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, creating an I've got to get this email out today about this blah, 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 you know,
or do you actually have to get the email out today?
Do you actually, is it going to make a difference? I've got to make this Instagram post because blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you, you do not have to make that Instagram post. Like, get over it. It's really going to be okay. I mean, I know that people, like, that's at least the thing I used to tell myself all the time. Mm-hmm. And to go back to that, like, social media aspect or, you know, email creation, all the things we do as entrepreneurs, it's a lot of creative energy and it's like these one-off little bits of creative energy that we're constantly pulling out of ourselves. Right. And if we don't replenish that, then at some point the well's going to run dry. Right.
Yeah.
And then it's just going to feel like a burden instead of a joy. And, you know, and it's like, if you don't, it's quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't give yourself that space to just like recharge and create quality over just I've flooded people's inboxes. Like every day there's an email. I've got the email thread going. I feel really good about it, you know, whatever. Like it's, I don't know. I think it goes back to that like bro marketing that we've just kind of taken on as a way of like our life. Like, oh, that's what we're supposed to be doing so we can be successful.
Right. This is how it has to look. This is what I should be doing. It's like the shoulds creep in again.
The shoulds creep in. You know, I've got to be a Pinterest parent. And like, I've got to, speaking of Pinterest, I should figure out how to do Pinterest so that I can take my business onto Pinterest because that's what Jenna Kutcher does, you know?
Right. Like, totally. Man. So there's that piece, like creating white space. But then what do we do about this, like the scrolling to-do list? Like, so like this is what I struggle with. And like, I've come up with tools that have helped me with it, but this is something I still struggle with is that when I don't have my shit together and like aligned, I will find myself constantly thinking about work when I'm with the kids and thinking about the kids when I'm at work and feeling guilty for all of it.
Yeah.
Have you experienced that?
Oh, all the time. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's a really tricky one. And I know that a lot of people experience that, whether it's a job, like whether they're entrepreneurs or you know, have a job that they're invested in. Mm-hmm. It's always there up in your brain, you know, and it you know, people just say like, I heard this a lot. Create boundaries. You have to create boundaries. And it's like, how?
Right.
How could I possibly create that boundary? Because one, that's one more thing I have to do. You know? And it feels that feels too big.
Sure.
So I'd rather just like keep doing what I'm doing because of that I know how to do, even though it's wearing me down, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know for me that the more white space I create, the more like place for my brain to roam that I create, it's just like, okay, if you have a 24-hour period and you have your like 7 hours of sleep or whatever, 'cause let's get real, You're like 6 or 7 hours of sleep. Really, a 9 hour a night of sleep would be great, right. But you have what we have, right? And then there's like all the little things that we have to do, like get our kids dressed, you know, make food, yada, 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 right? And then you just start packing all those minutes with things. There's no space for your brain to process all the things that it needs to process. That's right. Why it's processing life during work and it's processing work during life, because there's not that space, that like those blank places that you're utilizing for that processing, right? And so, you know, so in that case, it's actually more efficient for you to take time for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. it's hard to actually put that into practice. Because totally. We've been told you have to constantly be busy to like be a good parent, to be a good, you know, business owner.
And I think it assumes a certain amount of privilege too, right? Like if you uh-huh. are the breadwinner for your family and you're your work is your livelihood, and then you throw in a global pandemic where now you're also teacher and mm-hmm. caretaker and still have to pay your bills and show up to a meeting and look professional. Because
mm-hmm.
I clearly look super professional this morning.
You look great.
It's like it's an impossible standard to meet alone without help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean,
I think yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right, because like every person's situation is so different, you know, mm-hmm. and there's just, you know, recognizing that we're. In a lot of ways, the way our society is set up is that we're being asked to do impossible things, mm-hmm. you know? And I think giving yourself grace is one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself. And also, like, a really great, you know, just, like, having empathy for yourself for, like, all of the responsibilities that we're being asked to, like, take on with very minimal tools on how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the standards are set so high, and whether it's internal or external, it's just, it's a lot. And so, yeah. And then the privilege of that, mm-hmm. of like privilege of taking space. I mean,
yeah,
that's a real thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that's helped me the most in this last year is kind of like reprogramming the shoulds that are going through my brain,
mm-hmm.
and like asking myself, like, first of all, if they're internal or external. Most often they're external, if I get really like real with myself.
Totally.
Like, I should be taking care of my kids right now, and I should want to spend time with them because they're home. And then I feel horribly guilty when I'm like, I don't actually want to, because I'm really passionate about this project.
Yeah.
And I know that they're well taken care of.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So like, we're in a very privileged situation, like where my husband is home.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're in an extra privileged situation where we're in a multifamily home. So we've got like extra adults and extra support for everybody. So like everybody benefits here, like the kids included.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those, in order for me to be present, it's like I have to reprogram those shoulds, like, I should be working on this specific project. I should be showing up on social media. I should be doing a story. And I'm like sitting with my kid, and like, you and I have been having this conversation. Like, this is our last summer with them before they start school in the fall. And like, mm-hmm. when we had that conversation a couple weeks ago, it like really hit me in the feels. I was like, oh my God. And like, Edie's at summer camp, and so she's already not home 3 days a week. And so it's one of those like, okay, I don't think I actually need to do any of these things. Like, how can I take this step away? And so for me, it is really about setting boundaries. And I know boundaries are like this big, elusive thing, but it's like very clearly defining my work hours. Like, that's what's done it for me is, and it, this will be different tools for everybody. It's like, but giving me like a clear definition that like before 7 a.m., unless like it's a nightmare or like a fire, you know, like a true emergency or like really upset kid, like my mom hat is not on yet. I get to have like my biz hat, and I have a couple of those other hours spread throughout the day that are more flexible. And then when I'm with my kid, my phone is away. So again, like, I think it goes back to your white space, but I think that my phone and my computer while amazing tools that help me connect with clients 100% pull me away from my family.
Yes.
Like, even just having my phone out when I'm with Edie, I'm like, oh, maybe I should check that thing. Did I get that client email? Did the debt guy email me? It's like, it's the reminder of the mental load that we're carrying. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's all packaged in this really pretty little box. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, just so you don't forget all the shit that you have to do, I've put it in this really beautiful piece of technology that will ping and remind you every 2 seconds.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like, we're not even carrying the mental load totally in our brain. It's like also in this box.
Totally. Totally. Also in the box. You know, I was just thinking, my dad is a real creature of habit. Mm-hmm. He's an engineer.
Okay.
He's kind of a machine. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking back to, like, as a kid, of course, like, we didn't really have computers growing up in our house. Like, there was an office upstairs that was basically just a paper room, a room full of stacks of papers and whatnot, with like a big desktop, right? Like, kind of like OG desktop. I mean, it was new then. But I was just thinking about how he would do life. Mm-hmm. And he had this stack at the end of our like counter in the kitchen. He would have his stack of mail, and he would get the mail and he would put it in his pile, and he would have a basket of bills that he had to like pay. A
basket of bills.
This basket of bills.
Must be a generational thing.
It's totally a generational thing. And then he would next to it have a piece of paper with a pen always there that he could write his list down as he walked by. If he thought of something, he would just write it down. And then every Saturday morning, it was like he runs on his clock, and it is the same thing all the time, which is not me, but I can appreciate this. And he would do, like, he would write down his things. He would have his specific time that he would deal with all of those things. And if they didn't get dealt with, then they would have to wait till next Saturday, because then he had to go work on a car or mow the lawn or whatever the fuck, you know? Mm-hmm. But I just think about, like, he would leave the office, he would go work out, and that was like his transition period, you know? And of course, it's different here. Like, we're working from home, but like, there was a transition time where even like the white space, you know, was like sitting in traffic.
Totally.
You know, and it wasn't like listening to podcasts or consuming this or consuming that. It was just like sitting there and just like, I'm sure, processing whatever happened during the day, so that when he got home, he made dinner. Like, we sat down, we ate dinner, and then we went to bed, and then he got up and did it all over again, which also sounds exhausting. But, like, you know, I think there's really something to be said for that generation, the 9-to-5 generation, especially, like, for, like, you know, going to a place, working, leaving the place, having a process, you know. I think it's maybe it's not like, maybe boundaries look like systems, right?
Sure.
Like, here's your system. Like, I actually have to say, I do have a spot at the end of the counter in my kitchen with my to-do list and my stack of envelopes of shit I have to deal with.
You have the bill basket.
I have the bill basket.
We also have the bill basket. Well, it's like a bill thing hanging on a board in our house, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, where's the damn mail? And it's like, oh my God, I'm turning into my father.
Totally. You know, yes, I am definitely turning my father as well. But it's like, there's, you know, like, there was definitely something to those little quips that they have. Like, they really had a system figured out. My dad really had a system figured out. And he had a really, like, he had some really difficult home stuff, you know, that he really, like, had to compartmentalize, and he figured out his systems on how to do it. And, you know, and so maybe there's something in there for people listening of, like, maybe you need a bill basket, and Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, you sit down and you pay your bills.
Well, I love the concept of transition time, because I think that's that you hit the nail on the head there, is that we, that isn't naturally built into any of our processes anymore, especially if you are an entrepreneur and you work from home.
Yeah.
It's just like one right into the other. And so I think I was trying to see, I was like, do I have any transition time built into my day? And I kind of do. And I realized how valuable it is. So most nights, like, I'm the main person that's cooking dinner, and I enjoy it. That's great. But I'll, like, I am most days done with my work by 2 or 3, because I just simply can't anymore. Mm-hmm. And the kids are down for their quiet time or quiet play in their room until 4. And so there's this hour period where, like, I'm starting prep for dinner and I'm just working in the kitchen by myself, I might have a podcast on, but it's usually a mindless one, like a Bachelor recap. Like,
nice.
This requires no mental energy on my end. I'm not down to learn anything after 3 o'clock. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's going to stress me out that I'm not learning anything, or it will already start adding to my to-do list. Like, I can't listen to business podcasts anymore because I'm just like, I have to be in the right space for it. But anyway, mm-hmm. like having that transition time makes my evenings go so much better. And then also has my kids' evenings go so much better. Mm-hmm. Because even Edie will sometimes come in and help me with the kitchen stuff, but it's like, this is quiet chill time. We kind of do the same thing in the morning, like, hey, if you get up early, that's fine, you're gonna play in your room, have some wake up time. Like, breakfast is a calm event around here, nobody's screaming. Constantly remind them that nobody is screaming. Mm-hmm. But it's like, how can we cultivate those transition moments through the day? I think that that's right. Like, really the maybe the challenge for ourselves. It's, yeah, I'm gonna add to your to-do list.
Well, I think it's just observing what your transitions are like right now. Like, I think that's a great thing to focus on. Like, what are our transitions like? Because I know, like, even with Fox, like, it, you know, he's almost five, he's becoming very emotionally, like, competent and like with it and like really seeing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Even with our phones, like, he's kind of become obsessed with phones. So we've become really, like, intentional about when we pick up our phone. And somebody, this teacher at the Waldorf school was like, what you do now is you pick up your, when you're picking up your phone, you say, now, Fox, I'm going to text Liz and let her know something about something that's going on, you know, or I'm looking at my phone to do this one thing. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to put it back down and then we're going to talk, you know. But it's like, so he's soaking up everything that I'm doing.
Right.
Which also includes my chaos when I come through the door. And like our chaos when we finally get dinner on the table and we sit down and we're like, okay, now let's eat. And he's just like, what?
Yeah.
You know? And so we're really like having big conversations about our transitions around and intentions around eating, around, you know, being together, around, like, you know, dispersing into our own things, like really trying to have intention behind it. Because if we don't, not only does it create chaos that we deal have to deal with internally, but he is like the embodiment of our chaos in the way he acts. And then it actually takes us so much longer and so much more effort to like try to get him to calm down and to focus and to eat and to whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, those transitions, and it's hard to like, it's hard to always be on it, right? Because then it does feel like another task.
You're exhausted.
Right. Right.
The kids are such a great barometer of like what's happening mm-hmm. in the world around them. Like, because mm-hmm. they need that sense of control and they need that stability. And so when that's gone, they're going to try and control stupid shit. Like, I must have the yellow plate. And if you don't get the yellow plate, they lose their mind. And you're like, it's just a fucking plate. And they're like, but this is one aspect of their life, especially if things are feeling chaotic, that they can control.
Totally. It totally is. Yeah.
So, wow. Mm. So speaking of transitions in white space.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are going to have a few more episodes, more episodes.
And this then we're going to one more.
This one and one more. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to take a little summer break and have some white space with our kids before they start kindergarten.
Oh my God. So crazy. I know.
Like having big feels about my baby. Uh-huh. And come back in September, just after Labor Day or around then. Mm-hmm. And with new episodes and new content, new awesome guests. But we just need this little space to, again, like have some white space, get some creativity going and just enjoy our families. So we'll have one more episode with some very special guests that I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
That you'll hear from next week. So keep following along. Please stay subscribed because then you'll know when we're back.
That's right. Yeah.
I'll probably post something on social media. Sharon won't. It's cool.
I will not.
It's fine.
I'll just telepathically send you all messages.
I think Sharon just messaged me.
Yeah. Can you feel it? The Psychic Friends Network.
Totally. Totally. Please subscribe to the Psychic Friends Network.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Well, thanks everybody for being here and listening with us today and, you know, engaging in our conversation from your car or your walk or wherever you are.
Yeah.
We really appreciate each one of you. And thanks for chatting with me today, Liz.
Yeah, thank you. See you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.